Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes, it is hump day. I know it because I woke up, my computer went down. I left the house without notes, flying on a wing and a prayer here. But Max, thankfully I got some kids that can, you know, take pictures and send, you know, to over the, the email stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Wes is looking at me like, okay, you definitely need some more coffee here. But here's the fact. So I'm reading in the news, right? What happened after that AFC Championship game when you got the Chiefs, you got the Ravens, right? So you got Bill Cowher, you got Boomer Esiason, and Nate Burleson, right? Did I get the name right?
Yep. You got it right.
Okay. All right, because I don't want to be like Tunch with calling, you know, San Antonio. All right, it's Burleson. Yeah. So I want to make sure it's Burleson, right? We're good. Yep. So they're out at an Amtrak because they got to take the Amtrak back to the hotel or something after the game. So a drunken Ravens fan comes up and starts to accost them, meaning he was full of vim and vigor and local brewed spirits of an adult beverage, I would suppose. And Max, this guy turns out to be a conspiracy theorist. I mean, here he believes the game was rigged in favor of the Chiefs so that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift could go to the Super Bowl so that they would then profit, the NFL would profit from all the extra monetary flow of Taylor Swift and the Swiftites, you know, getting into the act and watching the Super Bowl. Now, how about that, Max? Do you think that's worth accosting somebody for?
I don't believe that's worth costing people for. And also, for full journalistic integrity, they are Swifties, not Swiftites. Unlike the hoplites of Greek lore, Swifties, they're not Swiftites. You got to just switch the I and the T in there. Just flip them.
Well, maybe it's Swifties for under 20 and Swiftites for over 30 or something.
I think it's Swifties.
Over 50.
Yeah,
probably
over 50
they're Swiftites.
So can you imagine? I'm just imagining Bill Cowher there on an Amtrak platform after this game and some drunken Ravens fan comes up and starts to say the NFL's rigged. And you know Cowher.
It's rigged! They paid Lamar to throw that interception into quadruple coverage.
They paid
he would
Zay
never
Flowers
do that.
To fumble at the one-yard line.
And cut his own hand on the sideline from his dismay to further hamper himself from doing well. They did that. Their defense didn't show up in the first half and then showed up in the second half again 2 weeks in a row. It's a conspiracy.
I'm telling you. See, this fits
hold
in.
Me, every hold experience. It a second while I drink another sip from my old English malt liquor while I'm waiting.
No, what's that? That natty, bow or whatever they drink in Baltimore?
Oh,
no, don't go
natty ice. You got to go natty ice, like the nasty ice. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be like high alcohol content, low on taste.
Well, yeah, if you're wearing those nasty purple camouflage pants, I mean, you can't be sober when you put those things on. No chance.
No.
Exactly.
No chance.
There are people that might they might do Jägermeister shots still in like their 30s and 40s. Like,
goodness! Here's the thing. Think about it now, Cowher. You know who's he's always up for a little tete-a-tete, you know? And this guy comes up, and he's giving them the business about this thing being rigged because of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly. Because of Taylor
Swift.
It's so
ludicrous, you know? But here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. At some point in time, you got to sober up enough to know this. You're making a stupid point. Right about that time, a cop comes. And what? Here's the thing. All the experiences I've had with a lot of the Baltimore fans really support this type of behavior.
Yeah. It's they're not short on irrational thoughts and carried out behavior. You know, they listen. They actually give in to their irrationality in a lot of respects. So, whereas most people, like you said, you know, you'll sober up enough. But the problem is, probably sober, it's probably worse. So this at least dulled some of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, this made it at least more palatable, because I'm sure probably sober is like, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Sounds like Captain Caveman, normal. And the alcohol kind of equalized that to where the actual syllables started forming in this moment, because they're slurred.
If I was Bill Cowher, I would have just said one of two things to the guy, all right? The first would have been, sorry that nobody on your team was handsome enough to date Taylor Swift, right? I mean, she and the NFL, when they were fixing this, they clearly picked Travis Kelce. Sorry a dude from the Midwest in Kansas City is better looking than your players here in Baltimore. That's not my fault, all right? Get some more handsome guys. Or my second thing would have been, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know Taylor Swift was around the last three times in 5 years that the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl before this. Wow,
or the last
fourth Super Bowl in 6 years.
The five straight previous AFC Championship appearances.
Yeah, I didn't know Taylor's been around this long. I thought this was a new thing.
You guys are killing me.
Yeah, you know. She made all the difference in the world from them not being a team that perennially goes and trying to make a dynastical run. That's right. She was the missing piece of the dynasty. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Are we serious?
Sorry
here?
You're not handsome enough, right, Baltimore.
Sorry, Mark Andrews. You're not cute enough. Hate to tell you that. The cuter tight end lives in Kansas City.
Okay, Max, now think about this. In your day, Saragusa was prowling the trenches there for Baltimore,
man,
right? So Goose says on one occasion, if a Pittsburgh fan goes in the bathroom, follow him in and give him the business. Meaning, basically, you're threatening major assault there, right? I mean that was craziness.
Assault in a bathroom.
Yeah, you know, it's just
awkward.
Ludicrous.
Awkward.
Just totally, yeah. Really bad. So you got that, right? You got some of the other stuff with the Ravens fans. I remember the booth there in Baltimore. It sits right where the Ravens fans are underneath it. And I'll never forget Tunch one time got mad at a guy who was yelling stuff at him from the stands, which is right in front of the booth. They had the windows open. And I'm down on the field, and Tunch says, I'm gonna punch this guy. I go, don't do anything until I get up there, all right? I got to come back up and calm him down, right? Because he's ready to climb out of the booth. Go after this guy. Well, the same thing happened.
Is he ready to go Jason Kelce?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just shirt off and just jump in through?
I don't think he was going to go shirt off.
Yeah.
He gave up adult beverages many, many years ago. So he's fine.
But you can still. But listen, you don't have to. You don't have to be inebriated.
No. That's
going to a fight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean. You know, sometimes you got to grease up, maybe a little extra Vaseline on just so you're a little more slippery and spry.
They can't get a grip on you.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of slip moves going. The old greased pig approach, you know?
The greased pig approach. I just couldn't get over the fact that police had to intervene for the fact that you've got Cowher and Burleson, right?
Just say Nate.
Okay, you can say Nate. And you got him and Nate.
BC Nate.
Yeah, exactly. And let me tell you something. Have you ever been near Boomer? Boomer's a pretty good sized guy now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. You know, because my father played with Boomer.
Okay, yes. So you know Boom.
Yeah.
And so Boom's a good sized dude, you know? I mean, he's bigger than Cowher.
Yeah.
He's bigger than Nate. You know, and I'll bet you he could throw a pretty good punch.
Oh yeah, definitely. I definitely believe his right cross is probably pretty accurate.
I just can't imagine how you come up with this conspiracy theory that the game is rigged so that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce can continue the romance.
He read it on the internet.
And this guy's a
And then after the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, they're going to head over to the Little Chapel of Love and elope, even though everybody will be there. You know what I'm saying? It's an eloping and a Vegas wedding. They're going to go Elvis themed, even better. I already got the script, guys. Don't worry about it. He's got blue suede shoes, tuxedo, ruffles. I mean, it's going to be immaculate. She's going to go like Madonna, like a virgin. Short white dress.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
No.
I've already gotten all this information in case anybody else is wondering. Hold on. Let me take my tinfoil hat off. I apologize. Sorry. This thing gets a really good signal first thing in the morning.
Stay with it, brother, because you know what? Last night we also had the curse of Oak Island. And you know what? They're still looking into Aladdin's cave. They can't seem to find anything or get to wherever they need to get. But there's always these promising things like, well, there's high distribution of gold in the water there, which means that it's emanating from this cave, and therefore we got to get to it. But we can't stop the water from the garden shaft. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So they're all discombobulated because they can't get to this thing.
It keeps collapsing, right? And you just keep getting that sand in there.
Oh, man.
So it's messing with the drills, yeah.
But how do you get wood 180 feet under the ground unless something happened there?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they might have been digging for Hades. I don't know.
No, we don't want that.
But why do you go 180 feet? Like, you could have done the same thing at, say, 80, maybe even 100.
How about 20 feet? 20 feet down. Have you ever dug a hole that's like about 4 or 5 feet? That's like brutal.
You have to remember, I'm an Undertaker's kid, so I've done at least 6 feet. Okay, guys?
I should have known that.
Exactly. 6 feet deep, 8 feet wide, and 2.5 feet width-wise. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, length. Length. I'm sorry, I apologize. Length is 8, width is 2.5. Sorry. Depth is 6.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a while. It's been a while since I've dug a grave, guys. Excuse me. We talking with or without a vault in there? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
It's impossible.
Do you take a backhoe?
No. This is old school.
Old school
Southern Florida back in the 90s, man.
Are you kidding me? You got to dig 6-foot trench?
Yeah, because you get some of the small community cemeteries where they don't have, like, if you go to a big, like, managed one that's a firm owned or conglomerate owned, they have the backhoe. They come in, boom, 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 they rip it out because they got 7 graves to dig at nighttime. But you go to a little small old school cemetery, it was like, hey, here's a shovel, good luck, let us know when you're done.
Wow. You know, that's a difficult job, man.
Country style.
Country style. Now, did you have any help, or were you the lone shoveler?
My little brother.
Okay.
My younger brother is 18 months younger than me.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, we've definitely had those late nights where it's like, hey, we're going to this one cemetery in Umatilla. it's like, all right, guys, get to work.
Wait a minute. You go, were you there in the dark?
Yeah, in the evening, yeah.
Whoa, did you see anything? Did anything happen?
No.
Okay.
No, nothing happened, Wolf. Don't worry, I have my garlic cloves around my neck and
there you go.
And a silver cross.
There you
Don't
go.
Worry.
Yep.
I was prepared.
You're all
no. No. I mean that's one of the things. I'm never fearful. I mean, I worked as an embalmer's assistant, so it was something I grew up around it since I was knee high to a grasshopper. So I mean that was just it. I mean I used to play hide and seek, in the casket room and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I mean it was a family
business.
You know what's
funny? You know what's a tough job too? My buddy, his dad had a music store, so he would have to help with some deliveries at times, like when you deliver a piano. So every now and then I would get called, come and help me deliver. A piano. It's just like, that was brutal. You're just carrying a piano up a couple flights of stairs, trying to, flip it over as you turn the corner and everything like that, and not wreck somebody's, $5,000 piano.
Not put a huge hole in someone's drywall at the same time either, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then the real test of manhood was if you could pick the piano up, because it would be in one of those large vans that you could stand up in, and walk off the back step holding the piano. It was like the strength manhood, like manhood stones, you know, lifting manhood stones in the old days, you know, and that was a sign of strength if you could do that. Now, the only problem is if you couldn't and you fell off the rear bumper, that piano could get damaged.
That's not
doesn't work real good.
No, that's not going to work too well. My brother used to have to deliver. He worked in the appliance delivery space.
Okay.
So he used to have to take like big stoves and refrigerators up like flights of stairs.
Because there's
places in Florida that just didn't have elevators.
Right.
So, and a freight elevator. So he would tell me about those, and I'm like, I can't even imagine, bro, like what you had to do. He was like, my back, my leg, my arm. I'm like, and my little brother's not that big. I mean, he's like 5'11", probably 205. Yeah. And like lifting like, you know, these 300-400 pound like refrigerators up like stairs with a dolly by himself and like the mover strap. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't want to let that bad boy get loose.
No. That's the wrong snowball to let go downhill. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's brutal. All right.
Yeah.
That's a wrap on the opening round salvo. Yes, indeed. We got more coming up because Max comes in the second segment here. And I'm still laughing thinking about struggling with the piano or with a refrigerator. That stinks, man. All right. We'll be back with more after this.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, back inside the locker room. And, you know, Wolf, we have a quote-unquote answer potentially.
Okay. To
to the OC question.
Oh yeah,
yeah. As we've learned,
you know, I thought about doing that in the open, but I just couldn't pass up Bill Cowher and the crew having to face off with a drunken Ravens fan. I mean, come on.
Well, no. I mean, that's the opening salvo, you know, and then I have to come back with the news of the day, and then we can go back to squirreling. You know what I'm saying? Like we're allowed to do that because, you know, I debated with what I sent you guys yesterday of going with that. You know what I'm saying? With O'Neal talking about his time getting cut by the Steelers. So, I mean, there's a lot of options. That is an awesome one. I mean, listen, Al Bundy, you know, threw 4 touchdowns in a single high school game. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
At the time, I mean, I could believe in 1969, that was probably a huge thing.
Well, he talked about going up to St. Vincent and everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He was there.
So, and his dad, and you know, Joe Green was a rookie. And
oh, yeah.
And L.C. Greenwood was a rookie,
could
right?
Could you imagine that? I mean, Joe, it's kind of like a foreshadowing because Joe – literally fought every offensive lineman in camp by the end of the first week. And then how many years later, Cam comes in and does the same thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Captain Cam.
God, I mean, Cam, I mean, it was just straight, and it was an old school headbutt, you know what I'm saying?
right.
like, geez, I mean, can we just get through camp without you having to try and test your iron head roots, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
gosh, Cam, he was quite annoying with that, but that annoyance paid off, right?
It has indeed.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. So what? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Where were you going with this? Because I got the squirrels are just attacking me this morning. I'm
yeah,
all
no,
over
no,
place.
It's all good. So we did hit what I wanted to talk about.
Okay,
thank you. no, but no, the Steelers. I mean, as it's been reported, obviously they haven't done any official releases yet that I've seen, but you know, it is believed that we are going to hire Arthur Smith as our offensive coordinator. That was reported yesterday after our show went off the airwaves.
Right.
So, you know, proceeding with that assumption, Wolf, what does that say about the future direction of this offense?
Well, I know this. Excuse me. If I'm Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren, I'm excited. If I'm Pat Freiermuth, I'm excited. If I'm any part of this offensive line, I think I'm looking forward to it because I think you're going to have more under center, play action type, run first, fist in the face football available to you that emphasizes the running game and tight ends and targeting. There's a lot of good things, the possibility. And I go back to what you said yesterday. Yeah, there's a couple things. All right, it's in the AFC AFC South. You know, I understand not a great division there. You know, so there's some things that you want to you look at. But there's no doubt that he had a couple great years out at Ryan Tannehill and helped resurrect that career of his when he basically put out the best 2 years that Tannehill has put out. You know, that's the same type of thing that can happen for Kenny or for Mason.
You're right. You know, my reservation.
Right.
And it with was, it, and I have to present that.
Right.
You're right, you know, for just full completion and full circle-ness, if that's a thing.
We do full circle-ness.
Yeah, we do. We do-si-do around. but, you know, my only concern is, you know, that success that they saw also had a hard ceiling.
Right.
You know, they were never able to close things out, whether it was because of that approach and the nature of that style lent itself to also exposure to fatigue and injury. So you have to really bolster your offensive line
right.
with this approach.
Right.
You know, and that's another thing. And also, you know, you worry about kind of what that says about your quarterback situation, right? I mean, yes, you made Ryan Tannehill the best years of his life, but also, I mean, that you saw what happened as soon as it was over with. It was a steep, steep decline.
It can
after
be.
That.
It can be.
But so, yeah, to me, that's my only worry.
I'm not worried about the end before the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we get the beginning and they get this thing on track, which I think is a distinct possibility, looking at his success rate, I mean, because basically Derrick Henry, we know what a great talent he is, no doubt about it, but Derrick Henry only averaged 66 yards a game before Arthur Smith got there. Then he jumped to, 102, then 126 yards a game. After that, had total career had yardage in 2019 of 1547. And in 2020, you remember that prolific 2027 year. So, I mean, you can get started in the right direction. I think there's a lot of good stuff there. And the fact that he uses 12 personnel a lot more and a fullback just says this sounds like Steeler football.
Yeah, and, you know, as much as I would love the return of the fullback, not going to lie to you, that prospect does excite me, you know, to go back to the days of yore, Thunder Dan Kreider, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Those are my days. I had Dan Kreider and John Kuhn for like a split second before he became a legend in Green Bay. Because we decided we didn't need a fullback anymore.
Yeah.
You know, JT Wall, I remember JT came into camp with me as a rookie, one of my good buddies. He was a fullback from Georgia. And, you know, actually, funny enough, he was actually Harrison Bryant for the Browns.
Oh, yeah?
he was his high school coach.
Really? No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah, huh. Yeah. So it was like crazy to see like the
That's
similarities
cool.
and, you know, the degrees of separation, you know, and I saw that because I was calling FAU games back in the day. So JT was down there for one of the games. I was like, oh, my God, JT. He's there, like, Max, man, what's up? So yeah. So small little circle walk around there to that, talking about fullbacks. But, no, I mean, listen. When you think about the last 3 years and you think about where we were versus where we're getting, the idea of an Arthur Smith gets you that next step. And now, is it the exciting nouveau and we're finding this young mind that's going to just, you know, create this amazing system? No. You know, sometimes, you know, the old ways are still the good ways. And, you know, I think Arthur Smith has a more of a throwback approach. And I think when you think about pairing that with a really good defense, this can put you in a position where this can fast track. This can get you back on the right rail line, right? Heading towards playoff town.
Right.
Consistently. And I think that's kind of where you have to say, but you have to say, how long is it, if it's too successful after 1 year, does Arthur Smith then jump back to being a head coach again? That's the only worry.
Yeah.
Is how many years do you think you can get out of this, you know, with the advent of that? And maybe that played into the decision to go with an Arthur Smith because it might be a greater propensity if you brought somebody in younger or you brought somebody in that is like that up-and-comer. You don't want that ascent to go too fast. Because let's think about it. You know, you have to think about Mike Tomlin's ascension. You know, position coach for a while, 1 year as a D coordinator before he becomes a head coach.
Right.
And so maybe if you do take a younger guy, maybe the same thing happens, and now we're back at square one this time next year. In 2025, we're talking about, oh, well, who's going to be the Steelers OC? Because we just lost our OC.
Well, think about
after
this.
After 1 year,
you know, he went 3 consecutive 7-10 seasons with Atlanta as a head coach. So in my mind, you know, you're talking about 21-30. That was his record. Well, after 3 years, he got released from, you know, the Falcons. I think, you know, you spend some time recycling the career. You know, I don't think that he's one of these guys that immediately jumps to another. It's not like he had a good run, you know, like three positive winning seasons and 2 down seasons that suddenly, yeah, you know what, the owner decides he's going another way. You know, I think this, you know, when you have 3 seasons like that, I think that's you're at a point in time where I want to recycle my career, come back, get hooked up on a staff that is, you know, got some real stability to it, which – obviously, that's what the Steelers do, and then go from there. To me, it sounds like this is a good marriage.
Yeah, no, I mean, and once again, that's what I'm hoping. And then, of course, the auspice, because of his relationship with Mike Munchak, maybe you bring Munch back.
Ooh. Ooh.
Maybe the Munch reenters the building.
Does the Munch come back?
That is a question, because you have to think about, you know, ties in, you know, with different organizations and connections, mm-hmm. right? He has that Titans connection. and, of course, now he has the Falcons connection. But, you know, usually draw on your experience, right? You know, try and relive the glory years. And you want to put it in place where you could have the best effect. Because I have to think, you know, if you bring in Arthur Smith, how much of the former staff is he keeping?
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus the revamp. Because also when you accepted Arthur Smith as a former head coach, you also have to make some concessions on some of the people that he wants to bring in to fast-track his philosophy and his scheme.
Hmm. Now, that's going to be interesting to see how that could possibly play out.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's the next kind of shoe to drop is what does the staff rounding out look like? And obviously, you know, for other coaches, you know, where are they going? with their positions. So it's going to be intriguing. Yeah, you know, I like I said, I'm still working on my way of, you know, getting through it and parsing through it and trying to mentally wrap my head around it. Haven't had too much time to go back yet and just dive through old Titans film yet. But, you know, that's what an offseason's for, right?
Oh, there's
to
no,
get ready
no doubt about
for
it.
The next year. Nope. To understand where are we at.
Well, one of the good things about that is I've always admired or had admired the Titans' offensive line that they had. I mean, for years, they had a really great offensive line. Very powerful, very physical, very come after you, try to bury you type of group, you know, the group there. And it just worked so well with Derrick Henry. I mean, think about it. Before Arthur got there, Derrick Henry was averaging in the fours per carry. They had two years when Arthur was there that he averaged over 5 yards a carry. 5 yards. Man, that's a lot. And I keep looking at, in my mind's eye, I'm looking at Najee Harris. I'm going, gadzooks, man. There's not an awful lot of distance, I don't think, between Najee and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's a great back, no doubt about it. But I'm talking about just sheer physical talent pointed in the right direction. Najee Harris can be very, very effective in that offense.
Well, and you think of this, Derrick Henry didn't really have that sidekick to shoulder the burden.
Right. You're true.
And you know, you look at this, and this is an upgrade because, you know, all the great stuff that Derrick had to do, Derrick had to do. There was no, like, hey man, hey, can we get some of these plays? Let me be just a little bit fresher into the fourth quarter. Najee will get that benefit. So you wonder how much more dynamic and explosive he can be in this offense, knowing that you have a capable second back that everybody trusts. And he's a different type of back. So it gives you a little bit more anonymity as a unit.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, we can continue pulling this apart, but the fact is, when you think about the emphasis on the running game and upgrading an offensive line of targeting a tight end, I mean, you know, he had that Pitts kid down in Georgia there. That kid was pretty good. Now, he had some injury issues his second year, but the kid was still pretty good. Over 60 catches, capable of more. If I'm Pat Freiermuth, I'm going, hey, I like that idea. The rookie year that Pitts had 110 targets, for crying out loud. It's not bad if you're a tight end, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not. And you also still figure out how do you utilize a Connor Hayward?
Absolutely.
In this system as well. How do you utilize a Darnell Washington as well? And, you know, for full posterity's sake, and I know that, you know, Wes is not going to be short on this one, but you know, just for reference, where did Kyle Pitts go to college?
Max Starks, Florida Gators.
That's right, he's a Florida Gator. That's right. Kyle is
he was all over that
of our university. You know, it's funny. I started talking to Kyle back when he was in college.
Kind of
offering some mentorship. So you know, to see him where he's at now, and you know, obviously the struggles he had the last year, kind of getting back into the good graces of Arthur Smith. I think it's going to be really intriguing. I think, yeah, Pat Freiermuth is going to be a direct beneficiary of this new style of offense with the way that they run the play action. So with that, I will step aside and allow Mr. Wolfley to take the reins once again as we come back with more Inside the Locker Room here in Fox Sports Pittsburgh and SNR Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on Fox Sports Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, I love to talk about people pouring life into other people. You know, I mean, it's just the good things. And we got a lot of good guys on the Steelers squad. I love when guys are pouring a little bit of life into others. Captain Cam does it all the time. But, you know, you got Army Staff Sergeant Adam Alexander, who is a Purple Heart recipient, is going to the Super Bowl this year, and his tickets were presented to him by fellow Cheesehead T.J. Watt. They're both Wisconsinites. Staff Sergeant Alexander was struck in the head due to sniper fire, and despite a 5% chance of survival, he survived by the grace of God. Man, father of one, Staff Sergeant Alexander serves as a member of the Disabled American Veterans. I think it's so awesome. Watt is going to meet with Staff Sergeant Alexander and his father-in-law in Vegas before the February 11th Super Bowl. God bless them. Man, oh, man, I think that's good stuff, Max. When you are able to be involved in something like that and bring some joy to a man who, defends America.
No, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, for TJ, I mean, this just kind of is on brand, right? I mean,
yeah.
This is what we expect of TJ, and this is where we know his heart is, and you know, wanted to show out and reach out. I thought it was really cool that you allowed him to do this for another Wisconsinite. You know?
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yeah, as opposed to, this, oh, my gosh, it has to be in Pittsburgh. It's like, no, I mean, you realize that the reach of the NFL goes beyond just team associations and affiliations, right? You know, it's about a nationwide appeal and also a nationwide, you know, heart. And realize you can honor the hometown, so to speak, or the home state,
right.
By being able to have this opportunity as well. I think it's pretty special.
Absolutely. So we salute you, TJ. Way to go, man. Doing good things, pouring life into other people. That's outstanding stuff. Now, go back to Arthur Smith. And just to wrap it up, one of the things that I want to highlight, too, is the fact that he just didn't develop a running game with a great offensive line or with a great running back, but he also had an excellent passing game, because you take a look at what he did with Ryan Tannehill. Think about it. Two of his best years in 2 years, 55 TD passes, 13 interceptions. That's it. You know, I mean, that it says something about a coach that's able to get that out of a guy who's already been there and done that for a period of time.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is the more I kind of chew on it, you know what I'm saying? Like, as I start to really just put my analytic hat on, take off the tinfoil cap that I had on first
right,
segment.
Right.
And, you know, and think about it, I think there's a lot of good that can happen, and a lot, especially when you're trying to tap the growth potential and really see where you could get that growth from Kenny Pickett and this offense. I think, you know, you have to start with some base foundation, because I don't think the foundation was necessarily that great that he landed on to start his career.
Mm-hmm.
And no offense to Matt Canada, but the offense didn't really highlight or really expose strengths for Kenny, kind of put him in a position where it kind of put one hand behind his back. So I think with this type of offense, you kind of spoon feed the process. And then you decide, okay, how well can you take this dose of stuff? All right, well, then let's up the dosage and let's see what we can do. And you kind of start to build off of those things and create a complete holistic look. So the more I talk about it, the more I start to feel better about it. But like I said, it's really going to hinge on the rest of the staff that's around Arthur Smith. Is it that true growth mindset? You know, who do you bring in, or do you retain Pat Meyer or bring in somebody new, right? With, like I said, a Mike Munchak. Do you keep an Alfredo Roberts, or do you bring in somebody else for tight ends, right? I mean, you know, how much autonomy will Arthur Smith have over this staff versus Mike's guys? That's going to be
right.
Another question and another thing to look at and see. You know, do you keep it, you know, can you keep Eddie Faulkner, or does he want to move on? Or, you know, do you have somebody else in mind that you want to bring in to do the running back position? Like, there's just all these, like, little questions that lead up to it.
Right.
To figure out.
Right. There is a number of things. I mean, you know, again, does Arthur Smith, do you feel kind of funny when you have two signal callers that were, you know, part of the staff last year, you know, with Sully and with Eddie Faulkner, and like kind of looking over your shoulder? Or is that copacetic with Eddie and with Sully? You know, I mean, and with Arthur, you know, is he able to play ball like that? You know, Pat Meyer, I think, has done an excellent job. No doubt in my mind. I you know, I love Pat. Now, does he want to bring in – no? That's interesting to me that you bring up Munchak, because there had been some noise about it. And remember, Munch first left here because he wanted to be closer to his grandkids out on the West Coast. So that's why he left and went to, what, Denver or something?
Denver, yeah.
Yeah, he was closer. You're on that far side of the Rockies, I guess. You know, that way it's only a hop, skip, and a jump into seeing his grandkids. But now, are they back here or something? I don't know. I don't know if he'd be willing to, you know, to do that, but it'll be interesting. I didn't think about the ripple effect on other staff members, such as what you just put in there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's something you have to kind of think about where he is, right, and where is this staff, what the autonomy, I mean, because those are the next important questions. because you realize, you know, who you hire to support said new coordinator also speaks volumes to your success and growth in year one. You know, you have to – is this a brand new staff that everybody has to get used to, you know, outside of the terminology? Will there be some carryover? Where is said carryover from one staff to the next? I mean, those are all the things that have to be kind of sorted out. You know, because I remember my 9 years in Pittsburgh, I had three different offensive line coaches, each for 3 year stints.
Right.
You know, it started with Russ. Then, of course, you know, when BC and Wiz leave, boom. Now you get Larry Zierlein, who is familiar with Bruce Arians, even though you hired from within for Bruce Arians, right? We still had turnover at our position to bring Larry Zierlein. And then, even while, you know, BA was still here, then we got Sean Coogler. And then Sean Coogler was retained over with Todd Haley. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then Coogs left. You know, so, you know, that's where you kind of are like, okay, what's the progression here? Who are we keeping? Who are we not keeping? Because remember, we had Clem.
Yep.
And then we got Pat Meyer, you know, this past year. And I'm sorry, sorry, 2 years
ago. 2 years
ago,
yeah.
And so now do you retain Pat? Or is it now another change? So all of these things have to be taken into account when you're thinking about the holistic view of this entire offense, because it's not just, oh, you know, just insert a new signal call. Like you said, how does Eddie Faulkner feel? You know, he also interviewed for this job just like Mike Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how does that dynamic work? Like you said, you know, if things start to go awry, are people going to be calling back for Sully and Eddie to come back and call plays again?
Yeah. All right. Well,
so, yeah. So,
that, yeah,
fun stuff. This is the thoughts. This is the thoughts.
This is like being one of those think tanks. See, I could be like in a think tank, you know? You know, I'd be.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
We just sit around, we think, and we tank.
Just did it. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
All right.
Just don't fill it with water. Just don't fill it with water. We'll drown.
Absolutely. But you know who's up next? The great Jim Wexel, Steel City Insider. Coming up as Max kicks off the Power Hour right here in the locker room.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.